Well, good evening, good afternoon, as it may be. It's good to see so many in attendance, and it's an uplifting thing to come together with those of like precious faith. And I find it humbling as well, traveling across some distance, never ceases to amaze me that when I come together and find a group of Christians, you can come together and you're with family. You've made me feel welcome previously and again today, and I thank you for your love and care for my family, and thank you for your hospitality on this trip as well. Much to be commended for. Thank you much. As we get started with our lesson today, we're going to be talking about our eyes, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 13, starting at verse 13 here in just a moment. If you would turn in your Bibles with me there and hold that place. It's good to make sure and double check what I'm reading to you and make sure that it is indeed the truth. It's always good to study to show ourselves approved. As we think on these things, we realize how important our eyesight is. We realize that as we go through our lives, think about what it would be like to not have the eyesight. Some of us, perhaps in this room, suffer from some loss of eyesight, and we have to deal with those shortcomings. And as we think today on spiritual things, I want to ask you how your eyes are. And if we turn to the reading here in Matthew 13, starting at verse 13, says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." A little while ago, my family and I took a trip to the eye doctor, to the optometrist. And it has become increasingly evident to me as I go through life and get a little bit older, as it was mentioned this morning, that, you know, we keep aging. We're not getting younger. And it's caused me to take note of those things that as we learned this morning in the good lesson that are failing of health, and eyesight being one of them. I wear contact lenses, and I have, without them, I don't see very well at all. And I went to the eye doctor and got my sight checked, and all went well. And it caused me to think about our eyesight and how important it is, and to think a little bit about the spiritual end of the things that we see. You know, this eyesight that we have, this physical sight, is a wonderful gift from God. We should appreciate it if we have it. We need to be thankful for it. Think of the intricate design of the eye. Think of the power that it must have taken in order to design such a thing that would work so well and so flawlessly for those that have sight. We need to be thankful for those things that we have, understanding that, again, most of our daily impressions, I'm told 87% of our daily impressions, they come from our sight. They come from those things that we see. And it's how we take in the world. It's how we register those things that we see and understand even where dangers are. As we're driving down the road, we understand the dangers that are coming up ahead. As we walk through our spiritual life, we should also be able to look ahead and see those dangers. We need to take in those things in front of us and understand what dangers lie in front of us. There are numerous references to eyes in the Scriptures. So it must be important. If God saw fit to put those references and those mentionings of our eyes and our the condition of our eyes, it must be important. You know, we often go to the eye doctor for an exam, just as my family and I did just a few short weeks ago. Today, we want to give ourselves a spiritual eye exam. We want to look at ourselves and look inwardly, which is a good thing to do from time to time, to make sure that we're still on the right path. The Scriptures tell us of some eye conditions that we should be watchful for. Let's look at some of those here today. First of all, we want to talk about spiritually blind eyes. Eyes that have forgotten those things of a spiritual nature. As we read a moment ago in Matthew 13, it reminded us of the statement in Isaiah 6. And looking there on the screen, we can see Isaiah 6 says, "He said, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand." You know, unlike some of the physical blindness that can ail us in our life, spiritual blindness can be avoided. We have that good teacher in the Scriptures. We have the cure for that spiritual blindness if we open up the Scriptures and understand those things that are within the will of the Lord. Some of Christ's earthly contemporaries, they didn't perceive Him or His kingdom and His mission while He was here on this earth. In John 1, starting at verse 11 there, He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. We understand that even in the very presence of the Son of God, mankind shirked Him and blew Him off as something less. All the more today, as we walk through our lives, as we take the steps every day, and as we open our eyes every morning, we want to be sure that we're not spiritually blind. We want to be sure that we're not missing those things that the Lord would have us to do in our lives. We need to have our Bibles open. We need to study the Scriptures. You know, each and every one of us can make an improvement in our study habits and our spiritual learning in our lives. Spiritually blinded, we can be spiritually blinded by the traditions of men as well. Now, Matthew 15 at verse 9 says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Looking around us in the world today, we understand all of the confusion that is about us in the spiritual world. Understanding that there are many that are telling stories and saying things and attributing them to the Lord, attributing them to Christ. And they are just not so. As we, I'm sure, not being from the area, but I can guarantee you that if you drive in either direction, you'll come across a group that up the road, maybe, that is blinded by those traditions of men. You know, in my family, growing up, by virtue of location, my mom grew up in a denomination. And it really happened because that was the van that pulled up in front of their house. And my grandma brushed them out the door and said, "Get on the church bus there. You know, it'll be good for you." And by virtue of that, that's how my family began to call themselves by that name, which was not of Christ. And I'm thankful for the ones that took the time to show me and teach me about the Scriptures. If you have those in your lives that are blinded, spiritually blinded by the traditions of men, much as my family was and in some cases still is, I hope that each and every one of you would take a moment and share with them the truth and plant those seeds so that perhaps they may listen. We need to be careful of that spiritual blindness. We need to be vigilant. We need to not succumb to that spiritual blindness. It's out there, and it's so easy It's so easy to become spiritually blind in this day and age. As we look around us, there's many things to attract our attention, attract our eyes, leading to talking about unfocused eyes. We need to be sure that we are focused on the proper things in our lives, our priorities. Now, what are our priorities? They can become blurry. They can begin to become out of focus because we're focusing too much on the temporal things, the things that we can see, the things that in the end don't matter a whole lot. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:18, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In matters of faith, sometimes opinions get involved there. Matters of faith and opinion blend together sometimes in the world. And if we're not focused, if we don't know what the will of the Lord is, if we don't place the authority where it rightly belongs, squarely with Christ, then we can start to blur the lines between those things. When someone says, "Yes, but you know, I really would like to do this during the worship service," whether it be, you know, some of the denominations I've noticed have coffee shops in the back. They have a place where you can have your coffee while you come in to study the scriptures. And that's unfortunate. I love coffee just as much as the next person. But we're losing focus there. You know, what are we coming together for here today? We're coming together here to focus on the scriptures and to focus on spiritual things, to leave those desires and those things of the world outside of the doors. And most importantly, because God said so. Christ built his church, and we don't have mention of such things in the scriptures. And that's why we avoid such things. Now, we think about Matthew 28:18. It's become one of my favorite scriptures because it reminds me of who has the authority. All of the authority has been given to Christ. And that doesn't leave you and I any authority to change anything that we find in the scriptures. It's important that we remember with focus that we're focused on the things of Christ and his desire for his church. Now, properly focused eyes concentrate on things above. If you look with me at Colossians 3 at verse 2 says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth." So what is it that we spend our time thinking about? Now, we are looking for that house not made with hands. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, it's a good thing to have our eyes properly focused on spiritual things. If we have our eyes focused on the road ahead, looking forward to that hope of heaven after a while, we're able to see afar off. If you turn with me to 2 Peter, that is 2 Peter 1, at verse 9. 2 Peter 1 at verse 9 says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." Now, it's important that we remember those things of the scriptures. It's important that they be in our mind, at the forefront of our mind. If we're not focused on those things, if we don't wake up and open the scriptures daily and look at those things to make sure that we're on the right path. You know, sometimes it helps us to remember that the closer we are to something, the better we see it. And that goes both ways. If you're closer to the things of the world, that's what's going to be in your focus. That's going to be the thing that when you wake up in the morning and you set about your day, and you're close to those worldly things, those are the things that you'll be focused on. Those are the things that will take your attention. If you're closer to the Lord, if you're closer to the Scriptures and you're opening the Scriptures and reading and knowing what is in there, knowing what the will of the Lord is, then that's where your focus will be. You'll realize that, no, I'm not going to go down that path because I understand that that is not within the will of the Lord. I understand that the Lord would not be happy if I took that step. The Lord would not be happy if I worship this way, because He has not asked for that kind of worship. We need to be focused. We need to have those focused eyes, that focused attention. The next kind of eye condition that we want to talk about is an evil eye. An evil eye looks with anticipation, hoping to see fault in others. Now, sometimes religious people can get wrapped up in that. And unfortunately, possibly sometimes those in the Lord's church. We're human beings. We must guard against these things. We don't want to be looking out in anticipation, hoping to see fault in others, that we can point the finger, that we might have something to say about them, or that we might build ourselves up and say, well, I'm not as bad as they are. At least I don't do those things. An evil eye looks with that anticipation, hoping to see fault in others. Matthew 7, starting at verse 1, says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye'? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." It's always good to start at home first. It's always good to look inwardly and to look at ourselves and make sure that we have things in order. And then we can look out with the knowledge that we've gained from our study, from the life experience and dealing with our own shortcomings. We can look out and see and have compassion on others with those same shortcomings. Sometimes I'm afraid we put ourselves on a pedestal and we look down and become condescending to those that are struggling and forgetting that perhaps one time in our past we also were struggling. Or at the very least, that we are susceptible to each and every one of those same struggles that drags down those around us in this world. And we need to be patient. We need to be loving. And we need to make sure that we're not looking out with an evil eye, looking and anticipating to find something wrong. Jesus spoke of an evil eye. In Matthew 6, starting at verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Now, we need to be singly focused. As I underlined there on the screen, "if therefore thine eye be single." Now, we have to have that laser focus, that single mind, the mind of Christ, that we can only gain from looking into the Scriptures. We can't serve two masters. Now, thinking back to the one that looks with anticipation, hoping to see fault in others. You know, think of a person who goes to the window and looks out their window and sees their neighbor's laundry on the line. And they might say, "Wow, their laundry looks horrible. Look at all those spots on the neighbor's laundry." Come to realize the spots are on the window that they're looking out of. And there they are, thinking that it was on the neighbor's laundry. Again, just a little reminder that we need to look at ourselves. We need to be sure that we don't have that evil eye. We need to be sure that our eyes are in a good condition, a good condition that is pleasing to the Lord. Another I condition that we might find ourselves in this world is having a lustful eye. In this world today, this is so common. It's increasingly common for us to have this issue today, to have that lustful eye. From a very young age, our minds are primed by the advertising and by the programming on television, and even driving down the road, looking at the billboards, you'll find things that will draw your attention and draw your eye in that direction. It would be good for us to be sure that we don't put our eyes on those things. You know, I'm pleased. I haven't directly told my children to do this, but I'm pleased to see them do this. When we are driving down the road, or perhaps we're even watching television and something comes on that is not of a wholesome nature, these things pop up in a moment, and they will cover their eyes or turn their head. And I can't help but think that that's what each and every one of us should do. We should not put our eyes on things that will cause us to be pulled away from the hope of heaven, pulled away from that single focus that we're supposed to have on the Lord. You know, Peter said that some eyes are full of adultery. In 2 Peter 2, starting at verse 13, we read, "Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children." Now, as we look around us in the world, we see that this is the case. This is the case around us. Many people have eyes that are full of adultery. They never cease from looking at these things. They are there to entice those that are unstable. Brethren, we need to make sure that we're stable. We need to make sure that we can withstand these times, that we have a good, solid knowledge of the Scriptures, that we might know those things that the Lord would have us to do. Look at the despicable actions of those in the news. We see those lustful eyes. Hollywood and children's programming even promotes a lustful eye. As we look at fashion trends, the current fashion trends feed that lust. What is it that our young people are told is fashionable to wear, to put on their bodies? Do we have a thought of what nakedness is, according to the Lord? And as we look around in the fashion world and things that we see on television, those that are put on a pedestal in Hollywood, these current fashions, they feed that lustful eye. It's enticing to look at. It's pleasing to the eye, and we find ourselves drawn right in if we don't have that single focus. If we say, well, on Sunday morning, I'm going to focus over here on the Lord, but come Tuesday, I'll let this eye wander a little bit. We can't do that. We can't have that lustful eye. We can't even give place to such a thing. Our dress should be modest and orderly. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, we read, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments." You know, as we maybe think back to when you were a child, and maybe you were, maybe you heard old Mother Hubbard fairy tale rhyme. And, you know, old Mother Hubbard, her cupboard was bare. But as I heard one preacher put it one time, it seems now that the story would be that old Mother Hubbard is bare instead of her cupboard. It's unfortunate in this day and time. It's unfortunate that this has become the norm. It's unfortunate that when you go to the store to purchase clothing, that you have to look and search for those things that will be a covering, that will be pleasing to the Lord. We need to fight for a high standard, God's standard. There are all of these ideas and ideas of men out there in the world that are trying to bring that standard down. But we need to fight and stand for that high standard that God has set for His people. Christ also warned of a lustful eye. Matthew 5 and verse 28. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We need to do the hard work. We need to ask ourselves, do I have a lustful eye? As we think back of the times in the scriptures that we're told of, the times that a lustful eye was the demise of someone. Think of Eve. Think of the decision to take part in eating that fruit that was forbidden. That was a lustful eye. Think of David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel. Think of that account and think of how the lustful eye took him down. Think of Simon and the power of the Holy Spirit, how he desired to have that in Acts 8. That lustful eye can get us into trouble. We need to be careful that a lustful eye is not one of our eye conditions. We can also have a deliberately closed eye. Sometimes we just close our eyes to things around us. We might see something that maybe inflicts a little bit of a wound in our conscience, and we just deliberately close an eye, out of sight, out of mind, and we go on about our business. Jesus wept over the closed eyes of Jerusalem. Luke 19, starting at verse 41, we read, "When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes.'" We need not have those closed eyes. We need not keep our Bibles closed, or when we read something in the scriptures that convicts us, that is right up our alley and pertinent to us in our daily lives, the things that a warning may come from the scriptures. And we need not have a deliberately closed eye over those things. This still happens today. It's an unfortunate thing. Some just won't bother to think about these things. It's too painful to think about all the changes that would have to happen in someone's life. So they just don't bother. In Acts 17, let's read about those in Thessalonica. "Now these," the Bereans, "were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." So the Bereans were more noble. They were looking into the scriptures, but those in Thessalonica, it might be said of them that they just didn't bother, that they just didn't give time to those things. They had a deliberately closed eye. Unfortunately, Christians can even close their eyes. It's an unfortunate thing. If your eyes are closed, wake up. Open your eyes. Don't let it progress to being a deliberate thing. You know, sometimes we err. Sometimes we step off the path. Each and every one of us, looking around, we're all human beings. We have faults. We want to make sure we don't close our eyes to those things which are putting us in danger spiritually. If your eyes are closed, please, by all means, wake up. Our eyes need to be open to the example in the community. When we go out into the world, you know, we have an example that we set. You know, there may be some that know, you know, locally that, oh, I know them, they attend over there at Overland. And they're watching. And we need not lose sight of that example that we have in the community. We need to also ask ourselves if our eyes are closed to the fatherless. You know, we need to be those that are watching out for those that are in need, those that maybe we can help, that we can be a support to. I'm reminded of a person that I know closely, a wonderful sister in Christ, and she was driving up the road one day, and she saw someone on the side of the road begging, and she pulled over and talked with him and invited him to church services and prayed with him and went on her way. And come to find out a few years later, that man walked in the doors of the congregation. He had hit rock bottom and he was looking for some hope. And he remembered or whatever and went and visited with the congregation there, and he studied. And to this day, he's a faithful Christian. It's a wonderful thing. We can't close our eyes to those that we perhaps think aren't going to listen. Again, do we have our eyes closed to the unsaved? In Matthew 28, beginning there at verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We need to be those that are teaching. We need to be those that have open eyes to the unsaved, that aren't closing our eye and saying, "Well, that's kind of a lost cause. That's not our part. That's not our job." Remember, John 4, verse 35 reminds us that the fields are white for harvest. There are those out there in the world today that need to hear the truth. There are those out there in the world today that are desperate for the truth. If nothing else, out of these times that we are recently going through with the virus and all of the despair that's going on in the world, look, just turn on the news. Turn on the radio and you'll hear of all the despair. And I can't help but think of all those people out there that are wandering around and have no hope. And they're scared. And they don't have that hope of Christ. They don't have that hope of heaven after a while. The fields are white for harvest, and we need to be those that go out there and look to share the gospel with others. Those that don't deliberately close our eyes to those needs that are right in front of us. So today I ask you, how are your eyes? Have you been pleasing in the Lord's sight? I bring your mind to Hebrews 13 and verse 20 and following says, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in everything to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And Ephesians 5 verse 17 reminds us, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." If you're here today and you haven't looked into the Scriptures to understand what the will of the Lord is, I ask you to please, after the service, contact one of us here, and we would be glad to study with you. We would be glad to show you in the Scriptures, not by our mouths, not by our words, not by a creed book of some man, but from the Scriptures, what the will of the Lord is. We want to be those that can be said, as it is in Psalm 17:8, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." We want to be looked upon by the Lord as pleasing. And we can only do that if we follow his direction. If we open our eyes and we don't blind ourselves to those things in the Scriptures that can save us. We understand from the Scriptures that hearing needs to take place. Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've done a little bit of that here today. You've heard some of the word. We need to believe that Christ is who he says he is. We need to repent and turn away from our sins, having a new purpose in our life. Having that single eye. Remember, if thine eye be single, having that laser focus, focusing on that hope of heaven after a while and not all of the things that can take us away in this earth. We need to confess Christ before men, not being ashamed of Him. We need to be baptized for the remission of sins, not for any other reason, and be buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life, where we contact that blood of Christ. If you've done those things, wonderful, then we need to go back to that question at the top of the screen there. So how are your eyes? Have you been pleasing in His sight? Looking around you here, you have a wonderful group of brethren that is a family, truly a family that is stronger and perhaps even more loving than those, even of your own blood. We're here to help. We're here to be a support. We're here to build each other up and help to carry each other through troubling times. If you need the prayers of the saints, by all means, we can be of assistance to you here in a moment. If you need to put on Christ in the waters of baptism, then why wait another day? Open your eyes and understand that we might not have tomorrow. Recent events prove to us that we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And we need to think seriously on these things. If you're subject to the invitation, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, if you need to be restored to faithful service, by all means, please come forward as we stand and we sing.